Joined this evening to transform your summer with Torah, this virtual-based medrash. We thank Rabbi Daniel Feldman for being the presenter this evening, discussing, understanding, and appreciating Birchas Hamazon.
Thank you very much. Good evening. We have a very cheerful topic to discuss over these next few weeks. We all love benching. We all love doing what's necessary in order to get to bench. Benching is a staple of our lives. We all have lots of benchers that we have collected from various events. We like singing during benching. Benching is a very happy mitzvah, and there's a lot to consider about it. And the truth is, as much as we love everything about benching, it's a good question, how much do we understand about benching? And we have the opportunity over these next few weeks to try to understand a little bit more about this very important mitzvah that plays such a prominent role in our daily life. And what we'd like to do together is go through Birchas Hamazon from the beginning, including all of its additions and all of its supplements, and try to get a little bit of a understanding as to what it's meant to contribute, what it's there for, what are we saying when we say these words that we say so often, what is Birchas Hamazon about, and what does all of its content convey. And we'll go from the beginning, from Shir HaMaalos, God willing, to the end over the course of these weeks, trying to understand the words, the message of the words, and the content of the words. But first, what we'll start with tonight is just to give a little background as to what Birchas Hamazon is, where it fits in the pantheon of mitzvos and of halacha, and why it's so significant in our lives. So first off, it's important to note that Birchas Hamazon uniquely is a bracha, is a blessing that comes from the Torah itself. For the most part, the brachos that we recite are not obligations min haTorah. They are rabbinical innovations. They are mitzvos derabanan. So even though we try to make 100 brachos a day, for the most part, those brachos are rabbinical commandments. And the idea of a bracha that comes from the Torah itself, it's very possible that there's only one such bracha. There's one other candidate as well, which we'll mention. But Birchas Hamazon is the one bracha, if we could call it that. It's a set of four brachos, but together it's the one bracha experience, which comes as an obligation from the Torah itself. And it's a pasuk that we will read in a few weeks, God willing, in Parshas Ekev. The Torah tells us, V'achalta, V'savata, U'verachta, es Hashem Elokecha, that we will eat and we will become satisfied from the meal, which is an important word that we'll come to in a moment. And having done so, we then have an obligation of reciting Birchas Hamazon. So there we have quite clearly, although there's much that's not so clear, but we have quite clearly, at least in concept, an imperative, a mitzvah to bench, to recite Birchas Hamazon after a meal. Reciting brachos before eating, that we call Birchas Hanenin, so that's not included here. That's understood to be an obligation midrabanan. Although the Gemara does tell us in Maseches Brachos that it's something we could have figured out on our own. The idea that we should make a bracha before eating, that as the Gemara puts it, Aser lehanos be'olam hazeh melo bracha, that it's forbidden, it's not right to benefit from this world that God created and gave to us without first acknowledging him, without first saying something that shows we understand where it came from. So there's a svara to that, that makes sense. And sometimes we find that when something is indicated by logic, by a svara, that that actually does constitute a din, a law that is equal to Torah law, that's considered to be a halacha from the Torah itself. In this case, that's not how we relate to it. We assume that brachos in general are midrabanan. But when it comes to benching, v'achalta v'savata uverachta, that tells us that benching is an obligation min haTorah. Now, the word v'savata in this sentence is also significant, and that also creates some limitations. So, for example, the Talmud tells us that it's only certain foods that are understood to provide the satiety, the satisfaction, that qualifies as v'achalta v'sabata v'erachta. So therefore, we bench generally only on bread. Mizonos, theoretically, we could reach a level where we would bench, but under normal circumstances, we bench on bread. And the recitation of Al HaMichya, which has many common elements of Birchas HaMazon, that's understood to be an obligation, midrabanan. So still, we're limited only to Birchas HaMazon as a bracha min HaTorah, Al HaMichya not, and the brachos beforehand also not. There is one other candidate, as I mentioned before, that Birchas HaTorah, it's possible, may be an obligation min HaTorah. It's a machlokus rishonim whether or not that's the case, a dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban and others. And that may revolve around the question of what kind of bracha is Berachas HaTorah. Is Berachas HaTorah a bracha on the mitzvah of learning, where we find that just like brachos on food are rabbinically ordained, so too, brachos on mitzvos are also in that category, and Birchas HaTorah would be the same? Or is there some comparison, it's why it's interesting to keep in mind, between Birchas HaMazon and Birchas HaTorah? And Birchas HaMazon, we understand, is an expression of gratitude, and it's an expression of praise and acknowledgement of God for the gift he has given us. And perhaps that's an insight into Birchas HaTorah. Maybe there is a common theme, but that's for a different discussion. But just to mention how it may be linked to Birchas HaMazon is an interesting thought. And with the exception of Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaMazon is the only bracha that we have in HaTorah. And even then, it has these conditions that we have to be satisfied, and therefore that limits it to only certain types of food. According to one opinion in the Gemara, which is probably not the dominant opinion, there has to be drinking involved also. That maybe savata connotes some kind of shtia, some kind of drinking. It's not the dominant view. But what we do find also is that even though when we talk about eating min HaTorah, so we have measurements. We talk about a kezias, we talk about food that's the size of an olive, for example. Sometimes we talk about a kebetza, food that's the size of an egg. So normally when the Torah talks about eating, we assume that's what we're talking about. So if the Torah says we have to eat matzah on Pesach, so we assume that we have an obligation to eat a kezias of matzah on Pesach, an obligation to eat food that is equal to the size of an olive. Or if we have a prohibition, if we're going to be liable for punishment, if we eat chazer, if we eat pork, so again, we're talking about eating a kezias. But when it comes to benching, so here, it's more than that. Because since the language isn't only v'achalta uverachta, that you should eat and then you should bench, that perhaps would have told us that we would recite Berachas HaMazon after having only that much bread, the size of an olive. But the language of the Savata tells us that no, it's more than that. That if you were to eat just the size of an olive, just a little bit of bread, and it's not going to be satisfactory to you, you're still going to be hungry after having only that much, so then you're not obligated in benching. That on a Torah level, this Doraisa obligation to bench only applies to bread and only applies when you've had enough to be satisfied, which may be significantly more than a kezias. However, according to rabbinic law, midrabanan, so we do require benching even if we have that token amount, even if we have a kezias or perhaps a kebetza. So then we assume that we are obligated to bench midrabanan, and there's a tremendous significance to that rabbinic law. That rabbinic law is much more important than one might think. Has a tremendous significance in endearing us to God, believe it or not. Because the Gemara has a very surprising statement. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chaf Amud Beis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors us. That God shows us special grace, and it's because of this. Because the Gemara asks a contradiction. The Pasuk in Parashas Ekev also describes one of God's qualities, that he is one asher lo yisafanim, that he does not show favoritism to anyone. However, in Berachas Kohanim, we find the phrase Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that God will show favoritism, will show special grace to the Jewish people. So the Talmud asks, well, which one is it? So either God doesn't show favor or he does show favor. So what's the resolution? And the Talmud has a very surprising resolution. The message is that God essentially says, what can I do? They're so lovable. How can I not show chayin? How can I not show favor to the Jewish people? They're just so adorable. They're so lovable. I have to show them favor. Why? What makes us so adorable? What makes us irresistible? Says the Kal Talmud, God says, I'll tell you what they do. Here, I asked them to bench. I gave this commandment of Birchas HaMazon. But, I said, not all the time. All you have to do is to bench if you are satisfied. V'yachalta v'savata uverachta, says God, that's all I asked for. And look at these Jews. What do they do? Hey, medaktikin alatzman b'kizayisub kibetza. If they have this token amount, if they have just the size of an olive, the size of an egg, they're ready to bench. They don't wait until they're satisfied, but they'll bench even on this token amount. And it's a very surprising idea. Out of all the things that the Jewish people do, out of all the actions that we volunteer, that we take upon ourselves, this is what gives us this special favor in God's eyes, that we bench a little bit more readily than we're obligated to. Normally, we find that we're hesitant to make brachos that we're not actually obligated in. We're worried about making an unjustified bracha. And here we're told that because we make this bracha at a lower threshold, because we're willing to bench even after having only a kezias, for that, God says, I can't get over these people, they're irresistible. What's so special about this readiness to bench after having a kezias? So there are many explanations. As you can imagine, this Gemara is a favorite of Darshanim. There's much homiletic material that can be gleaned from this Gemara. But one common approach that you find in a number of sources is that the message here is God says, listen, I give you a gift, I expect a thank you note. I give you something, if you're satisfied with it, if you find that it was meaningful, that you enjoyed it, so then I'd like to know about it. I'd like to have an acknowledgement. If the gift qualifies, say something. And our response is, God, if it's from you, we know it qualifies. That if we have a gift from you, it doesn't have to arise to that threshold of a satisfactory meal. As long as it's a token amount, it's got to be something noticeable, at least the kezias, but as long as it's a token amount, so then that's enough for us because we value the relationship. God is telling us, if the gift is good enough, I'd like to be thanked. And we're saying it's not about the gift, it's about us. It's about our connection. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind, how could you not love a people like that? A people that cherish the relationship and recognize the connection. For sure, I have to show favor to such a nation. And that's one of the themes that you find in interpretation of this Gemara. One could also suggest, perhaps, that it's a recognition of the spiritual power here, that the Torah is asking of us that if we put in the effort and we see a reaction, we eat and we see that we are satisfied, okay, so then we should acknowledge that. And we're commenting here, we're expressing that we actually recognize God's connection on a spiritual level, and we recognize that we are always being sustained. And that even if it's not obvious, even if we can't see the steps, we can't see the connection between the eating and the satisfaction, we know that it's there. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us. And therefore, as soon as we see that, we recognize that the Sviya is there, whether we feel it or not. And therefore, we're motivated to express Birchas HaMazon. So one way or another, there is something special that's expressed through this bracha, and the fact that we're willing to take it on, even at this lower threshold, is something that overwhelms the Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, so to speak. It's a way of saying he has to favor us because of that, and it has tremendous power. So we have an obligation, min ha-Torah, to bench. And we have accepted even other circumstances when we're not necessarily obviously full, or We're making brachos before eating. We're making brachos on food that's not bread. All of that we have taken upon ourselves also through rabbinic legislation as an obligation. Now, that being established, so we have to figure out what exactly is contained in the mitzvah d'oraisa. So there are many words in benching. Are all of those part of a Torah mitzvah? What if I were to say different words? What if I were to say fewer words? Would that be a fulfillment of the Torah obligation? It wouldn't be a fulfillment of the rabbinic obligation. There's no question that as far as rabbinic law is concerned, so we have an obligation to recite the entire text of benching that we have, at least up until Al Yechasreinu. After Yechasreinu is an additional section. God willing, we'll go through all of the parts of benching together. But the four brachos that comprise the beginning section up to Yechasreinu, that's what we call benching, we call Birchas HaMazon nowadays. So is that all included in the mitzvah min HaTorah? So we know that not all of it is part of the mitzvah min HaTorah. And the Gemara makes it clear that the last bracha, we call HaTova HaMeitiv, that is a rabbinical addition. But what about then the first three? Is that saying that all of the first three are min HaTorah? So here we find some debate. And it has implications. We have to figure it out. The Talmud does suggest that the themes that are covered in these first three brachos, which we'll go through one by one in the coming weeks, that these themes are derived from interpreting the Torah. And that might give us the conclusion that indeed, yes, these are all commanded min HaTorah to recite these three brachos. Although it is somewhat of a debate. There are those who understand that it doesn't mean there's a Torah obligation to recite three brachos. It means that the themes have to be expressed, but the themes can be contained in one bracha. We could have merged them all into one bracha, which essentially is what Al HaMichya is. We call Al HaMichya Me'ein Shalosh. It has a tripartite theme to it. It contains these three ideas of the first three brachos. So it's possible some of the Rishonim understand that if one were to recite Al HaMichya after having a meal of bread, that wouldn't satisfy the rabbinic obligation, but maybe Min HaTorah, that would have accomplished what we need to as far as benching is concerned. Al HaMichya on a piece of cake, that will still be, like we said before, a din d'rabbanan. But if one were to eat bread and make Al HaMichya afterwards, maybe that would have fulfilled an obligation min HaTorah. That maybe it doesn't have to be three separate brachos. Maybe it could be one bracha, and maybe that would also satisfy it. Or maybe it could be less. Maybe it would be enough just to express the basic theme of blessing God having eaten the meal. And that's why, for example, there are those who have a practice that when they're singing Zmiros on Shabbos, for example, during a meal, so the song Tzor Mishalo Achalnu, they won't sing before benching. And the concern is that perhaps if one were to say Tzor Mishalo Achalnu, that maybe that would constitute the fulfillment of the Torah obligation of benching. That maybe by saying just those words, Tzor Mishalo Achalnu Baruch Hu, this rock who has provided us with food, so we bless him, maybe that would be a realization of the mitzvah min HaTorah of benching. So what would be so terrible if it would? Okay, you're still going to bench anyway. You're still going to recite the whole text of the benching. But in general, we don't want to split up the bracha into two halves. We don't want to fulfill the mitzvah min HaTorah first and then have left to do the mitzvah d'rabbanan. That's not the way we like to do things. We like to do the bracha in its full form. We like to do the mitzvah in its full form with the Torah obligation being accomplished together with its rabbinic enhancements. So ideally, we're not going to split it up. And therefore, there comes this practice of maybe avoiding Tzor Mishalo before benching. So one shouldn't be in a situation where they have the mitzvah min HaTorah fulfilled and the mitzvah d'Rabbanan yet to come. So that's a discussion. It could be that just expressing gratitude to God for eating might be a fulfillment of the Torah obligation, or it could be that expressing all of the themes that we find in these first three brachos, that's the Torah obligation, or it could be that all of the three brachos, which have ancient authorship, as we'll see, are themselves what's obligated min haTorah. But the fourth bracha, hatova hametiv, that's not included in the obligation min haTorah. That much we know for sure. That's what the Talmud says. Now, one of the major implications of a bracha being min haTorah, that when we have a mitzvah that is daraisa obligated as opposed to midrabanan, so how does it affect the halacha? So one way that it affects the halacha is in a situation of suffix. If somebody's not sure whether they're obligated or not. So let's say somebody is not sure if they ate enough to be obligated in Berachos HaMazon. Or, as could happen to the distracted among us, can testify, sometimes you linger at the table and you don't remember if you benched. You don't remember if you fulfilled this mitzvah. So what should the rule be? So normally when it comes to brachos, we say that if you're in doubt, leave it out. That safek brachos lahakel. If you're not sure whether you're obligated in the bracha, you're not sure whether the obligation was there in the first place, or you're not sure if you fulfilled the obligation. So then we say safek brachos lahakel. We're lenient, and we say not to make the bracha. That's a halachic attitude. It sounds a little funny to us sometimes, because as spiritual, religious people, we feel left out if we can't make a bracha. It's like when you miss the day of Sfira HaOmer, and we say that you can no longer recite the bracha on Sfira, so we feel like we're being punished. We feel like we're missing out on something valuable, and we are. But in halachic terminology, to not do something is called a kula, so therefore we say, safek brachos lahakel. And that may seem to come from a concern of not taking God's name in vain, and we know that we want to be very careful about that. So if a bracha is not justified or not for sure justified, we're not casual about that. And we don't make a bracha that we're not sure that we need to make. But it really also comes from the fact that as rabbinic law, we have this policy of leniency and doubt, and we don't recite a bracha that we're not sure about. But Birchas HaMazon is a safek, and Birchas HaMazon is a din min haTorah. So if there's a safek about Birchas HaMazon, if we're not sure whether we bench, we're not sure whether we're obligated to bench, so then we have to be machmir. This is the one bracha that we're going to be machmir about, that because it's rooted in Torah law, we have an obligation to make sure that we fulfill it, and in a situation of doubt, we will bench nonetheless. There is a debate in the Gemara, and it's actually unresolved, as to whether women are obligated in benching on a level min haTorah. We know for sure that women are obligated to bench after eating a meal. The question that persists is this an obligation from the Torah itself, or is it a rabbinical obligation? Why shouldn't it be a Torah obligation? It would sound like it should apply across the board. V'achalta v'savata v'irachta. Why should that make any distinctions? It's not a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama. It's not tied into any specific time. So why should there be any distinction? So that would really depend on the question of what is part of the mitzvah min haTorah. That if the mitzvah min haTorah is to acknowledge the meal and everything else is a rabbinic addition, so then it would seem like it shouldn't really distinguish. But if there are these added elements, and these added elements may have distinctions within them, as we'll discuss as we go step by step, so that seems to be what's prompting the debate, and that's where there might be a difference. But if we assume that there's an obligation min haTorah for men and for women, so then the halacha should be that if somebody is unsure whether they have an obligation, we should say safek l'chumra, and one should bench out of doubt. And one might think, okay, so we say, fine, that's our policy because we're dealing with Torah law. But we just said before that the fourth bracha is a rabbinic addition. So maybe we should say if somebody's not sure if they're supposed to bench or not, so it's Torah law, they're obligated to do it, but let them only recite the first three brachos. The fourth bracha, that's a rabbinic addition, maybe they shouldn't be obligated to say that. If they're not sure, they should take the policy of rabbinic law, when in doubt, leave it out, and not recite that fourth bracha. That would have been a logical conclusion to come to, but the Magen Avraham on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham says, no, that's not the way to think, that once the rabbis added this on, it becomes all one unit. And we see it all as one package, And we don't want to create any kind of zulzul. We don't want any disrespect to be expressed towards this fourth bracha, for anyone to think that it's not important when we're going to have a policy here of repeating benching and limit it only to the first three brachos. So if we're going to have a policy of stringency, so then we should recite the entire benching. And it's interesting also because the relationship of the brachos to each other is itself a question. And that same author, the Magen Avraham, in a different comment, the Magen Avraham discusses what if you're stuck somewhere and you don't have a bencher and you don't have a phone that has an app on it or any other way of giving you the text of benching, and you don't know benching by heart and you only know one of the brachos. So if you're ready to bench, and there's only one bracha that you know, so maybe you should think, okay, so I'll say at least that one bracha. And here, interestingly, the Magen Avraham said, no, in that case, we should leave it out, that we should treat lakula, because there's another debate about the relationship of the brachos to each other. Is there such a thing as birchas hamazon with only one bracha? If you don't have the other ones, at least the first three, if you don't have the three daraisa brachos together, is there a Birchas HaMazon at all, or are they all interconnected and you can't have one without the other? So the Magen Avraham says, because of that possibility, if you only know one bracha, so then you shouldn't get involved in benching, because that's going to leave us with an incomplete Birchas HaMazon, and that would indeed be an unjustified bracha. So all of this paints us a little bit of a picture as to what the obligation of Birchas HaMazon is and where it comes from. We only have a few more minutes, so we won't be able to get into it yet. We'll have to start next time. But just as a little bit of a preview, so next we have to figure out Zimun, the idea that we introduce the benching with a special formulation, Rabbi Sayin Yivarech, when we have three or when we have 10, when we say Elokeinu. So that constitutes its own concept. And there was an opinion in the Talmud that that's a different mitzvah min HaTorah. That's also a biblical obligation. There is a machlokas about this, how exactly to relate to it. And the Mishnah Berurah, in his Sefer, in the Shaar HaTzion, in the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, he assumes that the majority opinion is that this is not a Torah obligation, there's a rabbinic obligation of Zimun. But were it to be a Torah obligation, the Gemara suggests that it comes from the Pasuk that we're familiar with, the Pasuk that appears in Parshas HaZinu, and we're familiar because we say it every day before Mincha, we say it before Musaf, we say, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Golda Lelokeinu, that when I am going to call out God's name, so first I have to acknowledge his greatness. So if benching is such an instance where we are calling out his name in a very significant way, so then we should first introduce that with a statement of his greatness, and that the Zimun would constitute that. It's interesting that this is also the candidate we mentioned before, that the other possible bracha that might be min HaTorah is Birchas HaTorah. And the question is, where in the Torah do we find the source for that, for Birchas HaTorah? So that may also be from the same pasuk. That may also translate to the same idea, Kishem Hashem Ekra, that when I call out God's name through Torah study, through exploring divine wisdom, I can only do that after first acknowledging his greatness. So one way or another, that pasuk seems to tell us either that we have to make a statement before learning, or make a statement before praising him for our meal, before Birchas HaMazon. It gives us this extra obligation of acknowledging God's greatness, and it could be that that's what Zimun comes from. But again, the majority view that Zimun is Midrabanan. But one way or another, it creates a special structure and a formality to our Birchas HaMazon. So what exactly does that structure do? What does it ask of us, and what does it represent? So that's where we'll have to start next week. God willing, we'll talk about that. And we'll also try to talk about Shir HaMalos a little bit, the introduction, and to get into a further picture of what Birchas HaMazon asks of us. So just to quickly recap, we discussed that there is a unique bracha that's min HaTorah. It's the only one, it seems, The only one that we're sure is Minat Torah, and that is Berachas HaMazon, Ve'achalta V'Savata V'Erachta, this condition of V'Savata, putting some limitations on what qualifies as Daraisa. It's got to be bread. Maybe there has to be drinking involved, according to one opinion in the Talmud, and it has to be satisfactory. But by rabbinic law, we bench even on Kezias, and the Talmud says that because of that, God is so enamored of us, he shows us special favor. And we discussed as well how that Gemara has a number of interpretations, either that we're not only going to praise God if we're happy with the gift, but we'll praise him also because we are happy about the relationship. And could also mean that it just highlights the connection, the spiritual connection between the effort and the result, even when we don't see it. And then we talked about how much of it is Darais. The Talmud says the fourth bracha is for sure midrabanan. The first three may be Darais, or maybe their elements are Darais, or maybe just thanking God is Darais. So we talked about how that influences the halacha, for example, in situations of uncertainty and the debate the Talmud has about women's obligation in Berachas HaMazon. And then we talked about some nuances within that, and then we got into a one sentence introduction of what's yet to come, God willing, next week, when we'll try to understand a little bit about Zimun and the extra quality that that brings to our Berachas HaMazon. I wish you a safe and healthy week, a safe and healthy fast, if the Mashiach hasn't come before Thursday. And in either sense, I look forward to, God willing, seeing you next week. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi Feldman. Introduce Rabbi Menachem Penner, Dean of Reed.